This is Bucky Bacall with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. It's just now starting to cool off in New York City this week. So like a typical provincial New Yorker, I have only just this week thought about revisiting the annual broadcast topic of winterizing the coop. My apologies to my listeners to the north. One of the most frequently asked questions I get from folks considering getting started in chickening is, what about the winter? Although the ancient origins of chickens are as basically tropical birds, most contemporary breeds are pretty tough, and we can help our flock get through the winter without a whole lot of work or expense. I'm going to run through some of the basic winterization techniques new chickeners from New Jersey to Toronto should know, and hopefully touch on something new for the veteran chickeners, or at least keep you all amused. First of all, think about wild birds and how many of them stick around all winter, and do just okay. Think about parrots, who, released as pets, have survived, reproduced, and set up wild colonies in New York City, living year-round, outdoors. The truth is, most migrating birds do so in search of food more than for warmth's sake. My partner and I are amazed at the variety of birds we see hanging around Flushing Bay in Queens in December and January, surrounded by snow and ice, eating, for better or worse, garbage and food thriving in nitrogen blooms or pollution-warmed waters. Not just ducks, but swans, herons, and others. I don't know what the survival rate would be for feral chickens overwintering in New York City, or for other broadcast listener areas like Vermont and New Hampshire. Perhaps not great, but I don't know for sure. My point is that birds in general, and chickens, are cold hardier than some of us imagine. Not that chickens relish the winter. Chicken watching, normally a lot more entertaining than the uninitiated expect, at least better than reality TV, definitely loses some of its appeal in the cold weather. Backyard hens are not constantly foraging and bickering like they do in the warm months and spend a lot of time huddled together under our house's heating unit or picking through the compost bin, which is a sort of natural heating unit. Unlike the summer habits of a typical free-range flock, they tend to return to their nests at sunset of their own accord instead of eating up to the last minute and roosting in the open until we put them to bed in their coops. Still, they're just as happy as ever to get out of their coop in the morning and stretch their legs, and are clearly pleased when we open up most of the garden area to them where they can scratch through the snow for carrot greens and stunted lettuce and dandelions. In my experience, they also walk around the perimeter of the remaining fenced-in areas, for instance my winter kale patch, planning their break-in. It takes a lot for chickens to freeze to death, but there are dangers to chicken health in very cold weather. A common problem is frostbite, particularly on the comb or wattle. It's ugly and painful, and you don't want a frostbitten chicken on your conscience. Breeds with the characteristic long single comb and big wattles you see on chicken wallpaper or tea cozies or whatever are the most susceptible, and roosters are more vulnerable than hens, not only because their comb and wattles tend to be bigger, but also because they don't sleep with their heads buried under their feathers like hens. Ultimately, any chicken, male or female, and even the ones with smaller, bunched-up combs can get frostbite. Spreading Vaseline on combs and reapplying regularly when temperatures get much below freezing is a pretty good preventive measure. Also, too much exposure to very cold weather will cause a general strain on health and shortening of lifespan, and a longer recovery time till they get to their full egg-laying selves when the weather finally does warm. During the day, when chickens like to be out, even during weather most of us can't stand, it's important to make sure your flock has access to warm water. Staying hydrated helps them stay warm. And besides, it's just plain rude to leave your chickens out with all their usual drinking sources frozen solid. Break a beak. For those working from home or homesteading, an option is to go out as often as the temperature warrants and add warm water to the dishes. I've been there. There are also electric water warmers available at your local feed store or over the internet if you'll be away from home for long stretches. These aren't foolproof, however, and I'll get to a few other techniques shortly. Fresh food is also important. In the morning, and especially right before chicken bedtime, make sure your birds can fill up. During the warm months, it's important not to let chickens overindulge in corn, as it fills them up without providing a balanced diet. But during the winter, it's a good idea to raise the corn ration, as it provides the kind of energy they need to generate their own heat. Don't overdo it, though. You're not trying to fatten them up, and a variety and balanced diet is still ideal. I have sometimes supplemented my flock's winter feed from my indoor vermicomposting worm bin. Worms reproduce at a much higher rate than most household bins and kitchen scraps can sustain. A lot of vermicomposters don't believe me, but trust me, You'd be amazed at how difficult it is to deplete your worm supply, even with daily handfuls harvested every day. As alluded to earlier in the show, a good active compost pile can generate quite a bit of heat to help prevent water and food from freezing. An open compost bin surrounded by hay bales, or a closed bin with the top cracked open for the chickens to jump in, can work great for daytime warmth. Having it next to the coop is not a bad idea either. That's because, of course, you want the place where they sleep at night to be warm most of all. The most common, although perhaps unnecessary, way to ensure this is by installing a heat lamp or 100-watt light bulb in the coop. Backyard chickeners debate about which is better. A heat lamp is highly directional, which means you're not heating the whole coop, only the area right in front of the lamp. But it also means the chickens, who are the best judge of the best temperature for their own optimal comfort and health, can adjust how close they want to be to that heat source. Either way, this means you have to run an extension cord or build wiring out to your coop. And it's a fire risk if care is not taken to make sure the heat doesn't rise too much and that the contents of the coop are not highly flammable. Many suggest that the properly built coop shouldn't require heat unless you are talking about temperatures well below 0 Fahrenheit. The trick is to have the coop properly insulated and the right size for the flock so that the chickens can heat it with their own body warmth. If it's very well insulated, be sure to have a roof vent in the coop for ventilation. The cleverest coops have provisions for clamping down on airflow and adding insulation in winter, and without too much trouble, opening it back up in summer. Another suggestion is in the winter, leave a certain amount of chicken poop on the floor, but throw new wood chips or hay or leaves, especially tougher leaves like oak, on top. As you do this repeatedly, the bottom layers will begin to compost, which generates heat. You see how composting is a theme on this show of winter. This is called the deep bedding method. Just watch out for ammonia smell, and preferably add fresh bedding before nitrogen can build up faster than carbon in the bedding, which presents a potential respiratory risk for chickens. A naturally warmed coop is likely to keep water and food from freezing, so you can put some food and water in there. However, it's also a potential breeding ground for pathogens, or rot, especially when combined with deep bedding. So another shelter for water may be better. Perhaps the compost bin, as discussed, or another structure. A recent article on backyard poultry was written by a fellow who could give his flock access to his basement for water. Think about those options. With my first flock, I simply took the chickens in at night, once average temperatures got below a certain point. I know that sounds like coddling to some, but it's easier and cheaper for many people than building the perfect coop, much less wiring it for heat. Once it's bedtime and they're settled on their nests, they don't move around that much. I practically forget they're in there once I drop a cloth over the cage so they won't be distracted by indoor activities and can go to bed. Even now, a year into my experiment with full-time indoor chickens, except for field trips, I really don't have a problem at night. Some flocks can sleep all in the same cage. Others may need individual cages, because if you try to sleep in a little bit too much or put them in too late, there could be some fighting in the cage. There are a few advantages to having your chickens sleep indoors in the winter. For one, if the chickens are outside and your windows are shut because it's cold out, you may not hear their wake-up call in the morning. Keeping them inside during the cold months will improve their services as alarm clock, not just roosters, also hens. And in my experience, taking them in at night extends the number of days per year they'll lay eggs for you, just by a little bit. For comments or questions or suggestions for other shows, please email me at bucky@buckybacaw.org or contact me through the Bucky Bacaw fan page on Facebook or by using the Twitter. Don't forget, if you record a message in your own voice and send it to me in MP3 format, I just might play it on my next show. This is Bucky Bacaw. I had a good time. Bucky Bacaw.